Good morning. How's everyone today? You know, it's appropriate in a sense that it is Father's Day today because that's kind of the theme of the message in that we've been doing a series called Connections. And today we want to talk about connecting to our Heavenly Father. And so here's what I want to assure you. He wants to connect with you and I. In fact, as I look at God's Word, we go back in the beginning in Genesis. What does God do every single day? It says this, that He walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. So what was He doing? Was He just like walking and, you know, nobody was talking, nothing was being... No, there was conversation happening. There was interaction happening. And then we see, you know, we have, you know, the fall of mankind, sin enters into the world. And we have all the way through the Old Testament, you know, essentially God still trying to communicate with mankind, trying to give promises, assuring people that there's going to be a way back to Him sooner or later. And guess what happens in the New Testament? That happens, right? There was the promise all through the Old Testament of a coming Savior. He was going to provide a way to save you if you want to be saved. And who's His name? Anybody know? Yeah, thank you. Good. That should be the pat answer in church. Hopefully you know that answer above all other answers. You know, that Jesus came, right? The Son of God came, and what did He do? Gave His life on the cross of Calvary. Why? So that we again could come back into fellowship with our Heavenly Father. So we could talk and walk with Him and experience His love, His forgiveness, His presence. That is the heart of our Heavenly Father in heaven. Amen. Now, can you say amen to that? Because that's pretty important. So here's what I want to do before I go any further. I don't know all of you here. So here's the thing. You know, this decision to accept Jesus is on a personal level. The Bible says that God loves the whole world, all right? But just because He loves the whole world doesn't mean the whole world is saved, all right? He loves the entire world. He offers the gift of salvation to every single person, but you have to take His hand, so to speak. He holds His hand out and says, "Would you like me to save you?" And you have to decide, am I going to accept that or not? And so I want to make sure that every single person here has accepted that promise. And you might say, well, I don't know. You know, and you might in your mind start saying, well, you know, I go to church, I do this, I do that. You know, trying to kind of justify good works kind of to say, I'm okay, God, right? You know, well, here's the thing. There's nothing that we can do that's good enough to get into heaven. Not one. Listen, you could do the best of everything in your mind. You are like this saint, right? You should be elected for sainthood. But let me tell you something. The Bible says that all of our works apart from Him are as filthy rags, the Bible says. In other words, it's never going to be good enough if we do this on our own. And so Jesus knew that. And so He came. He gave His life in our place. He was sinless. And yet He took upon the most sinful possible death of that day by dying on a cross, reserved for the worst of criminals. He was perfect, and yet died the worst of criminals. Why? He was the substitute. He took your place and my place on that cross and gave His life. So here's my question to you. Have you accepted into your heart what God has done for you? And if you haven't, then you're not right with Him. That's just the reality. I can't say this any nicer, if you know what I'm saying. You got to accept Him as Lord and Savior. You have to say yes to what He's done. Doesn't mean you necessarily fully understand it. I've known the Lord 35 years, and I'm still working out a few things, all right? But the point is that it's an act of faith. It's trusting that He has done this for you and acknowledging that. So it's very simple. It's not about joining a church or becoming, you know, quote, religious. It's about accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior in a personal way. This is between you and God, all right? So God the Father, because He loved you, sent His Son to do what? Save you. The question is, have you said yes to being saved? Or are you still drowning in the sea of this world? And yet He's got the life raft and He's there saying, hey, come on, jump in with me. Have you chosen to get in that life raft and be saved? So if there's anyone here that you've never made that decision and you'd like to, all I'm going to do is ask you to put your hand up. You're acknowledging to me and to Jesus that you need Him. Is there anybody here? I just want to make sure that everybody here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Is there anyone here? You're not sure. In other words, if I was to come down and interview you and say, well, when did you accept Jesus? And you can't give me a date or a season of time, then you probably are not saved and born again. You don't want me to do that. But if you haven't, just let me know. Just tell me. You'd like to be saved today. Just want to make sure. All right. I want to believe we've got a full house of believers here. Last 2 weeks ago, we had about 6 people accept the Lord. It was awesome. It was just a blessing. I want to make sure that every time I stand up here, is give everyone an opportunity. I don't want to ever stand before Jesus and him say, you didn't tell him about me. You didn't tell him how to be saved. So now you know. So if you're here and you haven't accepted Jesus, this is a decision you can make on your own, in your own time, in your own place. Amen? How many people accepted Jesus outside of church? You weren't in church somewhere. Yeah, quite a number of you. I was one of those people. I was in a haymow in Canada, of all places. And that's when Jesus came into my life. Amen? He can meet you wherever you're at. Amen. So I want to talk today about our ability to hear God's voice. I believe that as a believer, what sustained me in my life is that ability to hear from him. And God speaks in a couple of different ways. And so I want to, in a sense, lay a bit of a foundation of how he speaks still today. And oh, by the way, if you've been part of a church that says, well, God doesn't speak today, you were part of a cult. I'm just being honest, all right? Listen, God speaks today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he says, I speak to you. That means he's still speaking today. But I will say this, that what you believe will interfere with what you can hear if it doesn't line up with God's word, all right? So let me just lay this foundation. First of all, how does the Lord speak today? Well, primarily through what? I hope everybody would say, through what? The Word of God, all right? That is the primary way. So let's look at Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So here we are. You know, all Scripture is God-breathed. In other words, it's inspired by God. God ordained what was in your Bible or on your app on your phone that is the Bible, okay? That it's been inspired, that God knew every word that was going to be in there, and it's for you still today, all right? And so it's there, and it's useful for what? Well, four things, right? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Well, teaching, basically, that's information. In other words, as we read God's word, we get what? Information. And it talks about what? Some of it's historical. Some of it talks about God's will and his ways. It talks about what God approves of, what he disapproves of. It talks about promises still to come. You know, for example, how about this? The return of Jesus. I mean, people are looking forward to that day, amen? So you got the return of Jesus. You've got, how about this? A new heaven, a new earth where all sin is gone, where all, you know, no more tears. You know, how many people are looking forward to that? Well, that's all in the Bible, and those things are all explained to us and laid out to us to show us those things, right? So teaching, that's the main thing. All right, how about rebuking? How many people have been rebuked in their life? How does that feel? Not good, right? And in fact, we live in kind of a cancel culture kind of world that if you're corrected by somebody, all of a sudden you're like, well, you're not my friend. You don't agree with me. And you kind of cancel them, right? You just say, well, I don't want anything part of you. But here's the thing. The Bible itself says, look it, if you want to follow Jesus, you will be rebuked. Here's what it means is, there's times where God is right, and by the way, he's always right, and you could be wrong. Yeah, I know. I know for some of you that's a struggle. But I'm just being real with you. So here's the thing. Rebuking is a part of connecting with God, about hearing his voice. And so this is good, though. You know, nobody likes to be rebuked, but here's the thing. It's healthy and wholesome. Why? Because when God rebukes you, it's for your good. All right? And you got to remind yourself, you know, when you're being rebuked by your Heavenly Father, to realize he knows what he's doing. He wants this to be right in my life. And so he rebukes you. Why? Because he loves you. Now, here's the thing. You got to give him permission. So I remember a couple years in the Lord, going back 33, 34 years ago, I remember praying, you know, and I said, Lord, you know, I'm a bit of a rockhead. You know, I don't hear you very well. So here's what I did. I said, Lord, I give you permission to hit me over the head with a 2x4 if you need to. Now, I've got some bruises because he's needed to do that. You have to give him permission to rebuke you. You hear what I'm saying? If you don't, then you'll just carry on your merry way, and he won't force his rebuke on you. You've got to say, Lord, you know, I don't feel right about this. Something's not quite right. And to be open to him rebuking you. And it's a good thing. And I know it hurts at the time. Again, I asked how many people were rebuked, and you're like, yeah, would it feel good? No. The thing is, even when God rebukes you, it doesn't feel good. But in the end, you're blessed by it. All right, so you got to be willing to kind of go through it. All right, next thing, correcting. Well, listen, you're thinking in certain things. We all come into our Christian walk thinking certain ways, and for some of it, it's okay. But guess what? Some of the things that you think about in certain ways, do you know that maybe you don't think about it quite right? Is that possible? Yeah, nobody's, I got one person nodding. Nobody wants to admit it, all right? But the reality of it is there are times we need correction, all right? And the Lord, again, will help us with that. And then the final one is training in righteousness. Well, what does that mean? What it means is that God wants to equip us for everything that we need to do. And so we need to be trained. Well, what is righteousness? That means to be right standing before God. So here's the thing. When we accept Jesus, we automatically are right standing in his presence. But here's what this is talking about. It means to be right standing to your neighbors, to your husband, to your wife, to your boss at work. You see what I'm saying? So in other words, the idea is that we are an example of Jesus to those people that we interface with. And so what does this Bible, what does the word say? We're to be trained in that. It means we don't come by it naturally. You know what our natural way is? It's self-preservation. You know what our natural way is? What I want. What do you mean what God wants? It's what I want, right? That's our natural way of thinking. And so what happens is we have to come to this place of being trained in righteousness, that it's not about us, but it's about glorifying Jesus as we walk on this earth. Amen? And so that's what we're to do, right? To be taught, to be rebuked, to be corrected, to be trained in righteousness. Why? So that the servant of God, I love this, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do I have any servants of God? Well, okay, just so you know, this is how it works. Earlier, I asked if anybody needs to be saved. Nobody put their hand up. So I'm assuming you're all saved, all right? So now I'm asking you, do I have any servants of God? So what do you think you should all do now? All right, there we go. Okay, we're going to get this hand thing right eventually, all right? So the idea is that, look, that means you were that person, right? You were the servant of God. And what does the word say concerning you? That God wants to equip you, thoroughly equip. Here's what that means. In the original language, means to be complete in him, lacking no good thing. That's what that word literally means. And to be what? Equipped for every good work. I love this. In the original language, which was Greek, it actually is nautical terms. And so let me explain. Literally, what this is explaining is like you've got a ship and you've got a captain, and that captain is putting all the things, all the equipment necessary on that ship for a voyage. So some of it's supplies, some of it's equipment, he's got a compass, he's got all the stuff that he needs. Why? Because when he pushes off from that dock, he can't resupply. He's out in the middle of the ocean somewhere. And literally, this is what this scripture is saying. It's saying, look, for you to have a good journey in this life, for you to be able to accomplish all that God has called you to do, then you need to be taught, rebuked, corrected, and trained in righteousness, and you will have a good journey. How many people want to have a good journey? There we go. We got those hands working. All right. Good for you. And so the thing is, the Word of God equips you for that good journey. Now, it's more than just, okay, I read my Bible, but there's more to it than that, right? You not only have to read it, you got to do it, right? And so that's real important. We're going to talk about that in a few moments, all right? How does the Lord speak today? So we talked about by his word. Here's the other way, by his Spirit, by his Holy Spirit. Acts 2, verses 17 and 18. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So this is a quote that Peter reads in the book of Acts just after the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church. And so here's the thing. That same Holy Spirit abides here today, right? Where's the Holy Spirit? Anybody know? In me, right? In you. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. In fact, you could say you have the Spirit of Jesus in you. You could say you have the Spirit of God in you. You could say you have the Holy Spirit in you, okay? All the same. In you, abiding in you. And so there he is. And so here's the thing. He's saying, look, in those days you shall prophesy. Now here's the thing. For some of you thinking, well, hold on. I thought a prophet was like an office. You got apostles, prophets, you know, all those guys. I'm talking about the prophetic nature that God has for you. And that's what this scripture is talking about. That when you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that God will reveal things to you that you couldn't otherwise know unless he revealed it to you. That's something that's available for each and every one of us as believers, all right? Talks about, you know, visions and dreams. The only difference between that is that a dream, God reveals something to you while you're sleeping in a dream. A vision is while you're awake, he reveals something to you. So in a sense, they're the same. It's just the clock is in a different place, all right? And so God wants to, you know, foretell things to you or forthtell things. It could be that he just brings to remembrance a certain scripture passage, right? Well, that can be prophetic in nature because now it's a word in season for a specific event. That's prophetic in nature, all right? Or it could be just a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom that God just shows you something concerning for yourself or someone else. But God speaks to you in that way. As a believer, you have access to that. The question is, are you accessing it? And that's important because in some churches, you know what they teach? God doesn't do that anymore. Well, somehow I didn't get that memo. Somehow I didn't hear that God doesn't do that. Because he does it in my life, he does it in other people's lives that I know. And so here's the thing, if you've been lied to in wherever you came from that God doesn't do that anymore, that's something you got to put aside because that will hinder you from being able to hear the voice of God. Because if you don't believe he speaks, then you're not going to be looking out to listen for him, right? And so you need to begin to believe that. In fact, that leads me to today's focus. Believe it or not, I'm not talking so much about how to hear God's voice. I want to leave you with three hindrances to hearing God's voice. Because if you don't get these three things out of the way, you're not going to be able to hear him. All right. And the first one I've already skirted with just a little bit. And here it is. It's unbelief. Romans 10:17 says, so the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here we have unbelief. What was that? Lack of trust. And so if you don't trust that God speaks, then you're going to have trouble. And so here's the thing. Begin to trust him in little ways. You know, just little ways. How does faith build? Faith builds on one experience to another experience to another experience. That's how trust builds. That's how faith builds. And so here's how it happens. So faith or trust comes by what? Hearing. Now that word hearing means to perceive or understand. It's a little different. In fact, let me give you an example. When I would ask my kids to take out the garbage, do I know they heard me? Oh, yeah. I was loud. They heard me. But did they perceive and understand and do what I asked them to do? Sometimes. All right. So here's what that word hearing is. It means that you perceive, you understand, and you act upon it. That's literally, you got to do that. If you don't do that, it's of no value to you. You won't grow in faith, all right? And so then faith or trust comes by hearing, perceiving, doing, and hearing, perceiving, and doing by what? The Word of God. It all goes back to the Word of God, to God's Word, his Holy Spirit, either speaking through his Word, his written Word, or by his voice, that inner voice on the inside, through someone else, however he wants to do it, but speaking to you, right? So you're hindered when you have unbelief, when you don't believe that he can speak to you. So my prayer for each and every one of you, especially if you've been told that God doesn't speak today, you will rebuke that lie in your life. And then the next lie connected to it is, well, okay, yeah, I know God speaks to important people. You know, he'll speak to, you know, Sandra, my wife, who's important to me anyways, you know, and to someone else, you know. But here's the thing. God treats us all the same. So that means he's an equal opportunity speaker. In other words, if you're willing to listen, he'll speak to you no matter who you are. Rich, poor, young, old, doesn't matter. None of that matters. If you're his child, it's like I tell my grandkids all the time. Here's what they do. They all try to trick me. They come up to me and they say, am I your favorite? So that's a problem. Listen, I got eight of them. So it's like, well, okay, well, how do I answer? So here's my answer. You're the favorite one that's talking to me right now. That's the answer. And they're like, Grandpa, that's not fair. I'm like, that's the way it is. You're all my favorite, but right now you're my favorite because you're talking to me. And so that's how it is with God the Father. You are his favorite when you reach out to him. And he wants to talk to you. All right. So unbelief, that's a big one. How about this? Again, a hindrance to hearing God's voice. We are not giving the Lord the room to speak. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. How many people have been on a vacation maybe, and you've gone to a hotel, and you know, you go in the door of the hotel room and you're in there. There's a bathroom usually, so there's a door there. And how many people have seen another door? Well, what's the other door go to? You ever wondered about that? Goes to what? An adjoining room, right? And so there it is. And so sometimes there's even two doors. Sometimes there's adjoining rooms going both ways, right? But the point is, that door will only open under special circumstances. So my wife and I, when we traveled and had our five kids when they were little, sometimes the rooms weren't big enough for the five kids. So I let Sandra, let her, that's a good way to word it. I let her take the young ones. Listen, I couldn't breastfeed, so that's her job, y'all. So she took the babies, you know, the ones that cried through the night, all that, you know, the little whiny ones, and she took them into the other room, and I got to stay in the room with the older ones, all right? And so that's how it would be. But invariably, somebody would knock on that door, the door in between, and it'd be one of the kids, right? And they want to see me. So here's, how do I get to there and them to me? So two things have to happen. They have to unlock the lock on their side, and I have to unlock the lock on my side. Then the door can be opened, right? And they could come in for a while, and then after a little while, okay, you need to go back to your room now, you know, lock the door. So here's the thing. This is literally, what I'm talking to you about is scriptural. I just read, behold, I stand at the door and knock. So picture this in your mind. You're in a room called your life, all right? And there's a door. And maybe it's a door you don't look at very often. Maybe it's a door you didn't even know that it's there. But it's there. And you're here knocking on it. And Jesus is saying, hey, I'm here. And what is he waiting for? For you to open the door. Because there's locks on both sides. Now, here's the thing. Because he went and gave his life on the cross of Calvary, he unlocked his side. In other words, the way, the access for you to talk to your Heavenly Father is open from God's side. He unlocked the lock. The question is, have you unlocked your side? And then, here's the next question. Have you unlocked it today? Are you going to unlock it tomorrow? In other words, this is a daily locking and unlocking. Because that's just the way it is. In other words, Jesus isn't going to barge in every day once you've opened the door. He's going to just be knocking. And what's he doing? He's knocking on the door of your heart. Hello, good morning. I'd like to talk with you. Will you let me in? Or are you like, hey, I'm kind of busy, Jesus. I'm on my way to work. I got this going on. I got that going on. Sorry. Or I got this conversation I got going on. Or I'm doing the, you know, you get what I'm saying? I'm just being real here because this is what happens, right? And you know what Jesus says? Okay. Then a little while later, he knocks on the door. How about now? How about now? And so how many times do you open the door? Listen to me. I advise you, whenever you hear the knock, go running for the door no matter what you're doing and fling the thing open and say, Jesus, come on in. Because if he's got something to say to you, it's for your good and benefit. Amen? Let him in. And I wish that I could tell you he just opened the door once and he's just, you know. It doesn't work that way. He asks permission to be able to speak into your life. And you choose. And so I don't know about you, but I call it going off the reservation. Over the years, I've known the Lord a long time. There are times where I've kind of gotten off the path. And guess what? That door stayed closed. I remember a number of years ago, I came in here to pray one day during the week. And because of busyness of life, I hadn't been doing it. And so I remember coming in and just coming up the altar during the week. And the voice of God spoke to me. It was so clear. He said, son, I'm so glad you came. I've been waiting for you. And you know what came to me immediately is, Lord, I'm so sorry. How many times were you waiting for me? And I said, I got other stuff to do. And I can tell you, every single day he was waiting. Every single day he's waiting to commune with you. He wants to dine with you, just like that scripture reads, that he wants to spend time with you and to fellowship with you. That's what he wants to do. I can't encourage you to open the door and let him in on a regular basis. All right, so hindrances from hearing God's voice, unbelief, not giving the Lord the room to speak, literally. And how about this? We are in rebellion to the Lord and listening to other voices. This is probably the worst one of all. There's an account in the Bible of a king by the name of King Saul. And he was the first king over Israel, and everything started out really well. He was really doing well. You know, the Lord was with him and helped him do things. But after a while, pride began to come up in his life. And fear began to rise up as well. With both pride and fear, he began to disobey the Lord. And so here's what God said. He said, look, you're not going to do what I'm asking you to do. I'm going to raise up another person. He raised up, anybody know? A guy by the name of David, right? And said, look, you're going to be the next king. And Saul knew it. David knew it. All the people knew it, all right? And so all of this is happening, all right? But Saul didn't want to acquiesce. He didn't want to say, okay, I know this is what God wants. Here's what could have happened. David could have stepped in being king. Saul could have stepped off the throne and lived his life out in complete peace, could have had a great life. You know what I'm saying? Just in a retirement, so to speak. But instead, he tried to cling on to something that God had said he needed to let go. He was in rebellion, literally. And so here's what happens. He begins, and you can read the account. I'm just going to tell you about the account. The account, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 28. And in this, we have Saul tries to hear from God, but he can't. Why? Because he's so far off the reservation. In other words, God had told him what he needed to do, and because of that, he couldn't hear anymore. Now, you might say, well, hold on, how does this apply to me? Let me tell you something. God speaks to his people. And if you're having trouble hearing from him at this very moment, let me tell you one reason possibly why. You haven't done the last thing that he told you to do back here. He spoke to you, told you to either do something or not do something, and you haven't done it. But here's what happened. You've carried on in life, and here's what you've hoped, that Jesus forgot that. Somehow he forgot that conversation. And it's like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do now? But here's the thing. He's not going to tell you the next thing until you do the first thing. And Saul couldn't deal with that. So here's what he did. Instead of keeping seeking the Lord or going back or doing the right thing, which he knew to do, he went to a witch and said, will you do a seance for me? That's literally what he does. It's in the Bible. All right, it's in the Bible. You know, I want you to do a seance. And so in this, you know, this woman, you know, conjures up this, you know, and it's supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be Samuel comes up, which is a prophet, and they have this conversation, and Saul's like, hey, you know, God won't speak to me, so you tell me what to do. And as you read the account, it basically tells everything that everybody already knows. And so then Saul, in the end, he dies. They go into battle, he dies, because that's what was predicted was going to happen, because God already said it. Now, when you read this account, for some people even here, you're like, oh, I guess seances are okay. I guess consulting with the dead are okay. It's in the Bible. No, please don't do it, all right? Let me tell you why. The Bible is full. It's all God-inspired. It's all there because God wants it to be there. That doesn't mean that everything in the Bible you should do. Judas hung himself in the New Testament. Do you think that's a good idea? You know, I think I'll pass on that, all right? But again, it's just been recorded. We have the historical event that happened. And so here we have that same thing. And so for some people, they look onto that and they're like, well, really, you know, it really was Samuel because the Bible says it was Samuel. No, it doesn't. When you read the account, it says that the people there said it was. But nowhere does it say God says it was. Let me tell you something. You can't talk to anybody that has died and gone on before you. Scripture elsewhere says that very clearly, all right? So listen, there's no exceptions in the Bible. So you just got to take the word as the word. So it was all what I call, here's what I call it, smoke and mirrors, all right? That's what it was. It was all just a big deception, all right, what this whole thing was. And in the end, Saul dies because, not because that woman said that, it's because God had predicted and said it was going to happen long before. It was all public knowledge. Everything that said, and you can read the account, everything that said had already been said to him before. Why? Because God was back here saying, this is what I told you you needed to do and you didn't do it. And so it's so important for us not to pursue other voices. Now, what can those other voices be in your life and in mine now? It can be all kinds of things. Let me just throw out some examples. And so if you're doing these things, just look at me and keep smiling. Nobody will know. Okay? So let me just throw out some examples. Reading tea leaves. Palm reading. How about tarot cards and fortune telling? Seances like we just read about. All of those things, let me tell you something, you are flirting with danger. And why do you do these things? Let me tell you why. You're looking for answers, right? You're looking for something. You're looking for information, for revelation. Listen, you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. Come on now. Are you going to go after a cheap imitation? But here's the thing. Do you really believe that? See, that's the question I've got for you. So imagine this. So here's a table. Here's a table right here. So at this table, you've got Jesus sitting there. Jesus, literally, he's come and he's sitting there, all right? All right. You've got somebody with some crystals over here. You got somebody with a Ouija board sitting there. You got somebody with tarot cards, and you got somebody with a globe that's glowing, you know, over here. Okay, and so you got all of them sitting at the table. Now, let me ask you, if you needed something, who are you going to talk to? You know that was the right answer, right? But would you really? Because let me tell you something. Jesus is sitting in your life right now. He's at the doorway. Remember, I just told you, he's knocking on the door of your heart right now. So who are you going to go to? Are you going to go to the cheap imitations, to the ones that will lead you astray? Or are you going to go to the one true God who will never hurt you, will never leave you, will never forsake you? Oh, so in astrology, right? I don't even know what my sign is, my zodiac sign. I have no idea. You know why? I don't freaking care. Because it doesn't mean anything. It's a bunch of crap. But the thing is, Christians get caught up in all that. Listen to me. That's cheap deception. It's smoke and mirrors. It is. And you might say, well, hold it. You know, I went to a seance and this person said this about, you know, a person that died and they knew stuff that no one else could know. Let me tell you something. These things are real. I'm not here to tell you that they're not real, right? Listen to me. What that is what's known as a familiar spirit. Do you know why it's called a familiar spirit? Another term is family spirit. There are spirits in the unseen realm that hang around families. So they're aware of your history. And so there are people who can tap into that, and then they refer that to you, and then they speak those things to you. Let me tell you something. It will, in the end, it may suck you in, but in the end, it's to kill you. You know what Satan wants to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come to do what? Bring you life, an abundant life. So don't get sucked in by the smoke and mirrors that it's a good thing. It's evil. And in the end, even though it might seem good at the start and bring you some sort of kind of peace, in the end, it's to destroy you. Don't give an inch to that kind of stuff. Anything. The worship of angels, the worship of anything other than the Lord God himself. And the thing is, when you do other things, what are you doing? You're worshiping that instead of Jesus. Remember, he's sitting at the table. He's knocking on the door. He's right there for you. Let's stand and pray together. And just before we do that, stand up. There's a scripture, Psalms 34:4. Just look at it on the screen. I sought the Lord, and what does it say? And he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. It doesn't say he might answer you or that he could. It says, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. He is the answer to every question that you've got. Do not seek any of the fakes, all right? Don't do it, all right? Father, I thank you for every person here. And Lord, I'm saying these things because I love every single person here, both the ones that are physically here, those that are watching online. I care for them. I care for their well-being. And Lord, I've seen so many over the years fall prey to the enemy by getting caught up in these different things and thinking that it's okay when it's not. Your word clearly in both the Old and New Testament speak against these things. So Lord God, I say this as a caution to everyone to be aware of these things and to follow the one true God and his Holy Spirit. So Father, right now, I pray that if anyone here is involved in any of the things that we've talked about, that Lord God, that they would turn from those things and just turn back to you. And you're right there. You're knocking on the door saying, hey, yeah, I want to talk with you. You know, I'm glad you remembered me. Let me in, you know. And so, Father, I pray right now that we would run to that door on a daily basis to commune with you, to experience your presence in fresh new ways. And, Lord, I know at times it does get frustrating on our part that maybe you don't answer soon enough or give us the answer we want. But, Lord God, it's always for our good and it's always in your perfect time. But, Lord, let us always tarry to seek your face. So bless each person, Lord, as they put you at the forefront. For Lord, you are there for each and every one of us. So bless this group here this day for being here to seek your face. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this morning.